Hi, everybody. Welcome to, well, delighted to launch and welcome you to NeuroQual. This is a specialist qualitative resource for neurosurgeons and neurosurgery, and helping people to understand what qualitative research is all about, to appreciate its contribution to the evidence base, and to advance the methodology and provide people with top tips and hints and advice and guidance for how to do qualitative research properly. So in this launch podcast, we just want to introduce you to ourselves, talk a little bit about why we got involved and why we decided to set up NeuroQual. So first of all, I'll just say who I am and I'll just introduce my co-author. So I'm Dr. Charlie Riffin. I'm a senior lecturer at the University of Derby and a visiting researcher at the University of Cambridge, working in the NIHR Global Health Research Group on neurotrauma and leading qualitative research. So that's me. Sam, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, hi. So I'm Dr. Santhini Silvendran. I'm a research fellow in the Department of Clinical Neurosciences at the Cambridge University Hospitals Trust. I'm also part of the NIHR Global Health Group on research in neurotrauma. Got that right. And I have been involved in qualitative research for a few years, not as long as Charlie has, I'm afraid, but still a few years. And It's interesting because when I first heard about qualitative research as a master's student, I was like, what is this? But the irony is that my last two research posts have needed me or required me to actually use qualitative research. So here I am.
So that's really funny, isn't it? That I think your experience is similar to a lot of other people. It's the first time they spit like Marmite, you know, you either like it or you hate it. And the first time you're introduced to it, quite often many people are kind of intimidated by qualitative research. It's really quite frightening. So we will talk a little bit more about that as we go through this particular podcast. So Brandon, do you want to just introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, my name's Brandon Smith. I'm a PhD student at the University of Cambridge and also in the NIHR Global Health Research Group on Neurotrauma. And my project is looking at a mixed methods approach to analysing the contextual challenges of follow-up in low resource settings. I was completely new to qualitative research, coming from a quantitative research background. So it was a steep learning curve, and hopefully that this resource will share some of those tips and tricks and get those interested in the field of research started quickly.
Thank you. So that's also a good point of reflection, that actually you'll come from a quantitative background. And I think many people come into neurosurgeons and those in neurosurgery would probably associate themselves more with quantitative research. So like you say, you've had this kind of steep learning curve. And I'm delighted to say that I've been helping you with that. Hopefully kind of opening your eyes a bit to qualitative research. So I'll say a little bit about the projects that I've been involved with. So I've done my PhD was qualitative. I did a particular approach called narrative inquiry, looking at the family experience of head injury. And I think that's probably where my speciality lies still. And in the group, I've been leading a qualitative project on neurosurgeons' experiences of and abilities to conduct and disseminate clinical research in low and middle income countries. That's been fascinating. I've been talking to lots of neurosurgeons around the world about their ability to conduct research, and I've been helping you with your study and long-term follow-up in LMICs. It's been a real pleasure working with a team of people who appreciate, you know, and appreciate qualitative research. And it's really nice to see that the group itself has brought qualitative research into something which is probably, I think, right to say, very positivist, you know, dominated by quantitative research and outcome measures. So that's really, really nice to see. So why did we decide to set up NeuroQual? Whose idea was this?
That's a good one. I think it's because of the training workshop that we had. So in project with the group, we are looking at the prevention of neurotrauma in low and middle income countries. And we're also using a mixed methods approach. So there was qualitative and quantitative involved. And because of the logistics and the pandemic, it was obvious that the local researchers had to carry out the qualitative research, not me. And they had absolutely no idea how to do it at all. So one of the things I came up with was the need for training. And I was extremely pleased that Charlie was part of the group because he was like the one who organized all the material. You know, she presented everything and it was brilliant. And then I think along the line, we thought, we have all these resources. They're just sat there. Why don't we use them for a training, as like a general training for anyone in neurosurgery who might want to actually carry out qualitative research? I think that's roughly it.
Yeah. And I think in the study that I was doing around neurosurgeons' ability to conduct research, there was that general need for high quality educational resources. So I think really we kind of took some of the learning from the study that I was involved with, and some of the pragmatic stuff that you needed to kind of train people that you were working with, and kind of put those two things together. And, you know, some of the, you know, you can see that there's not a huge amount of qualitative literature in the medical, you know, in the medical evidence base. And what is there? Some examples are brilliant and really go, you know, in kind of capture that real depth of qualitative research, and other studies are kind of more superficial. They kind of put their toe in. And I think part of, you know, wanting to do this free resource, you know, this open access, and that it continually evolves, is to try and respond to that need for high quality, open access, free resources that kind of meet the needs of a range of people, but are bespoke to kind of neurosurgeons and neurosurgery. And Brandon, I remember at the beginning of your PhD journey, first of all, you being like a rabbit caught in headlights. What is this qualitative stuff that Charlie wants me to do? And we sent you on a training program, didn't we, for a week. And it's a very good training program. Do you want to talk a bit about your experience of going to that training program?
Yeah, so the training program was great. So it was intensive, and it was a five-day course full of everything from the theoretical approaches and sort of a bit of the ontology and what is thematic analysis, and then what is grounded theory, and all these things. But then it also began to work through examples. So you would do a mock interview and some mock coding analysis. But the issue that I struggled with is, I'm fairly new to the field of neurosurgery, as is at least neurosurgical research. And then when you're learning a new style of research, so going from quantitative to qualitative, you have that additional challenge of there's two completely new concepts that I'm having to work through, and it helps to have context in at least one of them. So if you, for example, if you're an experienced quantitative researcher and you're going into neurosurgical research, the same sort of things apply. You understand how to do statistical tests and all these things. But being completely new to neurosurgical research and completely new to qualitative research, having that context would have probably made the learning experience in this new form of research a little bit more easier, a little bit more straightforward. So I think the resource will serve quite well to neurosurgeons or anybody practicing in the field of neurosurgery who wants to dive into qualitative research. I think it will help them by having that context and having these sort of applied examples that are using the language that they're there, that they're already used to. So not having to sort of look at two dictionaries at the same time, so to speak. and it just makes, I think it makes things a little bit smoother. At least having going through it, I found it to be a lot, you know, if I had this handbook a few months ago, a few years ago, I think it definitely serves as a good springboard. To jump into the field. I mean, qualitative research is so large. It's very, everybody's got different opinions how it's done, different ideas, you know, there's different standings, different paradigms, different perspectives. But I think it's good to have all of these things in one resource, at least to start with. I think that's where I come from, at least anyway.
I think you know, you make a really good point that it's the contextual understanding of qualitative research that helps you engage in it, because like you say, it's a really vast, I think when you when you first come to qualitative research, and how it's treated quite often is it's kind of like this add-on. You just talk to a few people and that, you know, we'll call that qualitative research. But actually, when you realise what the field is, there's this vast kind of different approaches, different understandings. Not everybody agrees on certain techniques and certain approaches. Some approaches are quite static, you know, and, you know, they're always used in a particular way. Other techniques are evolving all the time. So, you know, if you take that approach like 10 years ago and look at it, the approach now, it's really different. So it's not, you know, it's not like learning a statistical test, which is always the same. It's kind of moving all the time. And unless you understand, or at least appreciate that that's what's going on, it's really hard to engage. And I think, you know, research, you know, it's not for everybody, you know, and qualitative isn't for everybody. But at least if you can read it in the context of a subject matter that you are passionate about, whether that, like for you, is follow-up, long-term follow-up, San, yours is kind of public health, you know, mine's around families and traumatic brain injury and research capacity. If you contextualize it within that subject matter, actually you're kind of like, oh, well, I can see the relevance of it now. I can understand how this can help me. So part of NeuroQual is to signpost people to different research papers that have been published, which are relevant, to look at particular research questions that are important within our field or within our discipline, to talk to different people, different researchers, and, you know, to get that shared sense of actually this is really difficult, or, you know, didn't know what I was doing, and, you know, that kind of real kind of perspective, I guess, that, and especially with the pandemic at the moment, and although we're kind of hopefully moving through that, you know, that the idea of all being all together in a room as researchers or as teams, that's not happening. So a lot of those informal conversations that you might have had with somebody of, oh, how's your analysis going? Oh, it's awful. You don't have that anymore. So hopefully the series of podcasts and things that we're doing within NeuroQual will just kind of help people to engage and have that kind of peer support and that reality of what conducting qualitative research is like. What have we got in NeuroQual? So we have a series of 6 units that takes you from that kind, you mentioned a word there, Bran, that not everybody would understand, that like have like ontology. So, you know, the first unit looks at some of the, you know, philosophical underpinnings of qualitative research, which sometimes are cut off in qualitative research because they're quite difficult to understand. So they're sometimes missing. So that's a really good unit to just start getting you thinking about qualitative research. The second one starts to think about more pragmatically about different designs and different ways of, you know, that capturing that broad kind of expanse of qualitative research. And then what's number 3 is 3 semi-structured, go on, Sam.
Interviews.
Okay. So semi-structured interviews and lots of practical advice about ways to carry out semi-structured interviews and different ways that they can be conducted and how to get the best out of them. And then we've got focus groups. And Bran and I are going to talk a little bit about online focus groups, again, kind of reflecting where we've been, you know, the use of technology and qualitative research and online methods. And then number 5 is data analysis. So that's the bit that everybody struggles with. you can't see this now, but both Bran and Santania are smiling from ear to ear, because that's the really, really difficult bit in qualitative research. It's one thing having a nice chat to people and kind of getting the data. It's another thing working out what to do with it and how to make sense of it in a meaningful and important and representative way. And then number 6 brings it all together and looks at quality in qualitative research, something that is not always dealt with particularly well in weaker manuscripts. So we're going to look at what the hallmarks of good qualitative research are and think about checklists and tools and ways to get, you know, good manuscripts published. And then what else have we got?
So we've got podcasts from different people,
mm-hmm.
different researchers in neurosurgery, especially. I think that's very good. And yeah, amongst ourselves, introducing units and talking about own experiences as well.
Yeah, brilliant. And that hopefully will bring everything to life, won't it? And then there are ways to get involved, aren't there? Brian, if you've got suggestions and things.
Yeah, so if there's any suggestions about any multimedia content that you'd like to see on the website, or any better ways that things could be explained, I mean, we all have experience in qualitative research, so it'd be really interesting to hear from, at least from complete novices in the field, of any ways that things could be better explained, or any suggestions, any thoughts, any comments. We have a comment box on the website as well.
Yeah, and that's really important to us, isn't it, that we respond to what people need. And I think sometimes as you become more experienced in anything, you kind of take certain learning elements for granted, don't you? So you might gloss over a concept that actually you've forgotten that you really struggled with when you first came up against it. So do let us know, do send us an email or pop a comments in the comments box. Suggest other units or other things that you might need. You might want to get involved in, you might want to let us interview you for a podcast. So this is a collaborative effort and something that will continue to evolve as we move forward. So anything you need, please let us know. We really hope that you enjoy the learning units and the podcast, and we really hope that this promotes good qualitative research within neurosurgery to advance and enhance patient care. Do you want to sign off, you guys?
Yeah, I just want to say I hope everybody will enjoy using this resource. And as Charlie said, please give us your feedback through emails or the online suggestion box. And yes, enjoy. That's what I have to say.
Thank you, Fran.
Yeah, no, I'd say the same. Enjoy the resource. If there's anything we can do to further better it for others, then to reach out to us.
Lovely. All right, guys. Thanks ever so much for joining us today. And we will look forward to talking to you again on our next podcast. Bye.